turns out that for girls, this is par for the course. While parents talk to girls about emotions more than they do to boys, anger is excluded. Reflect with me for a moment. How did you first learn to think about emotions and anger in particular? Can you remember having any conversations with authority figures or role models about how to think about your anger or what to do with it? If you are a woman, chances are the answer is no. As far as my own early understanding of anger, the plate-throwing incident said it all. My mother may have been livid, but she gave every appearance of being cheerful and happy. By staying silent and choosing this particular outlet for her feelings, she communicated a trove of information. For example, that anger was experienced in isolation and was not worth sharing verbally with others. That furious feelings are best kept to oneself. That when they do inevitably come out, the results can be scary, shocking, and destructive. My mother was acting in a way that remains typical for many women. She was getting her anger, quote-unquote, out, but in a way that explicitly separated it from her relationships. Most women report feeling the angriest in private and interpersonal settings. They also prioritize their relationships at home, work, and even in political contexts in determining consciously or not if and how to express negative emotions. Throwing plates is an example of a coping mechanism, but it is not an effective or healthy way to express anger. Coping often involves self-silencing and feelings of powerlessness. Getting anger out in this way is not the same as envisioning anger as a transitional tool that helps you to change the world around you. Plate throwing did, however, allow my mother to be angry without seeming angry. In this way, it allowed her to be a good woman, which significantly meant not being demanding, loud, or expressing her own needs. Even though this episode happened more than 35 years ago, it remains true that social norms continue to dictate how we think and feel about emotions, especially when it comes to women and anger. But first, what happens when we experience anger? Feeling anger involves a constellation of factors, including physiology, genetics, and cognitive processing. These make up the character of anger. For example, you might be a person who tends to get angry quickly, known as trait anger, or you might be slower to anger and experience it mainly when provoked. That is called state anger. Context is equally critical, however. Our responses to provocation, our assessments, and our judgment always involve a back and forth between character and context. Where you are and who you may be angry with, as well as the broader social construction of anger, part of what is called an emotional culture, matter. While we experience anger internally, it is mediated culturally and externally by other people's expectations and social prohibitions. Roles and responsibilities, power and privilege are the framers of our anger. Relationships, culture, social status, exposure to discrimination, poverty, and access to power all factor into how we think about, experience, and utilize anger. Different countries, regions, even neighboring communities in the same state have been shown to have anger profiles exhibiting different patterns of behavior and social dynamics. So, for example, in some cultures, anger is a way to vent frustration, but in others, it is more for exerting authority. In the United States, anger in white men is often portrayed as justifiable and patriotic, but in black men as criminality, and in black women as threat. In the Western world, which this book focuses on, anger in women has been widely associated with madness. Anger is also not unidirectional, but part of endless mental, physical, and intellectual feedback loops that operate below our conscious understanding. It is sometimes called a secondary emotion, resulting from other, often hidden feelings of shame or fear. You might not always identify anger as part of what may be causing you discomfort, pain, or distress, but chances are that if you look closely, unexpressed or inadequately expressed anger plays a part in what you are experiencing. For some of us, being angry causes anxiety, which in turn makes us angrier. For others, anger becomes part of our bodies, causing physical discomfort, which then makes us short-tempered, unhappy, and impairs our health. These anger feedback loops often directly implicate unacknowledged social injustice. One of the most common feedback loops that women live with involves anger caused by discrimination that, if denied, intensifies, increasing stress and its effects. Of course, everyone